Okay, we're talking about Apocalypto, which is going to be one of the very big releases in 2007. It's Mel Gibson's next directorial charge. He's done The Passion of the Christ, and he's also the writer in this one. I'm speaking to Joe Smith, by the way, who's one of the regular film reviewers for Southern Cross.
Hello there.
So he's also the writer and producer. It's like a one-man band.
Oh, he's done it all except acting it.
I think it's mainly because this film is set in South America amongst the Mayan Indians.
That's right, and Mel Gibson doesn't look very Mayan to me.
No.
Or to anyone else, apparently.
He barely looked Scottish. So. Okay, yeah. So give us a bit of an idea, Joe, about the storyline of the film.
Sure. Well, Mel Gibson has taken us back 500 years to a time when the Mayan civilization was quite prevalent in South America. And immediately we're set in one fairly idyllic-seeming Mayan tribe. They get along quite well. They're hunting, they're gathering together. And then one day along comes an invading Mayan tribe, and they basically rape and pillage the place. They make slaves of the more peaceful Mayan people.
This is, I would say, probably one of the most disturbing parts of the film, isn't it?
I mean, I think there is violence in this film that would surpass violence in a lot of, I guess, genre horror films. And it's just interesting that as cinema technology has advanced, filmmakers have been able to show sort of more realistic-looking violence. It's a realism that I think people don't expect to see, like in war scenes or in hospitals, the sort of injuries that take place. And then, yeah, it'd be very disturbing for a lot of viewers, I think.
Now, the slave traders bust into the village, and I guess it's at that point that we really start to meet our hero of the film. Now, who is that?
Our hero is Jagwapor. He is one of the people that are taken away by the invading forces, but his pregnant wife and son are left behind in a pit, but it's his family that Jagwapor is basically on his mission to try and save again.
Yeah, that's right. There's almost like a ticking clock on the film, because his wife and son are in what's basically a well, aren't they?
Mm.
And so if it's going to rain, then they're going to drown. They're safe in so long as they're in this pit, but he's got to get back to them in time to save them. Now, they go off into a sort of an alternate Mayan civilization. This is the conquering tribe. What were your impressions of the place that they were taken to?
Well, it seems a large pyramid is kind of the center of their sort of religious cult practices, where they basically sacrifice the slaves to their sort of vengeful god, I suppose you'd say. And some of these scenes are really quite graphic, like the scenes of the raping and pillaging when they take over the village are quite graphic, but then so are some of the scenes here where we see people decapitated, people's hearts removed. And it's interesting, yeah, like the look of the film, I mean, I'm guessing it's accurate to the time, but it's awfully violent. And it's interesting that as technology has advanced in filmmaking and we can show things in a more realistic way, that we're actually seeing scenes that are far more disturbing than I think we would probably want to see, generally speaking.
Yeah, I suppose that the idea of accuracy, historical or otherwise, is a bit of an excuse to say, well, you know, this is exactly what it would look like, so I'm going to show you. You know, whether or not you actually really want to be shown that at all.
Yeah.
Listen, what did you think of the rest of the techniques used in the film?
Well, I don't know. My gut feeling tells me that maybe a lot of the film was just an excuse to have a lot of exciting chase sequences and sort of violent sequences. And I mean, you know, you'll see some of the best ever action movie chases and action movie fighting that you'll get in any sort of film. But I just sort of wonder, with some of the chases, and especially there's a scene where they sort of send the slaves two by two to kind of run through a sort of open paddock back to their home, while people sort of fire arrows and throw sort of javelins or spears at them and throw rocks at them. And you sort of wonder, is this really essential to the film, or is it more just an excuse to kind of have a bit of violence, sort of have a sense of sport-like chasing taking place? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like almost a manufactured opportunity for the hero to show how smart he is,
yes,
you know, in comparison with everybody else.
Yeah.
I also thought that, like, one of the big things in the film is perspective. The cameras are always showing everything from the perspective of everybody, and that actually, believe it or not, can be a bit annoying after a while, I thought, because you don't tend to get a great sense of everything around you.
Mm.
You know, rarely break out into these wide shots. You always end up in these sort of, like, you know, seeing just the tree straight ahead or that either side, whatever the captives can see. You know, which again is a justifiable technique, but it might have been used to death. there are certain key themes that run throughout the film, and one of the ones I thought was probably well worth our consideration was the way that family is treated in the film. I mean, what did you think about the way that the film, or Mel Gibson as a director and a writer, presented the idea of family?
Well, we were talking earlier about the fact that Mel Gibson's a Catholic man with a large number of children, and in the introduction to the film, there's a scene where one man who cannot impregnate his wife is sort of criticised by his sort of, you know, fellow villagers, and it's all in sort of good fun. But yeah, there is a sense of this kind of, in that culture, there was a shame about not being able to have children. And so clearly family and spreading your seed and sort of, you know, maintaining the generations after generations in your land is seen as what life is about.
I think actually it went even stronger than that, because I wouldn't go as far as to say that, like, the Mayan culture, looking outward at people who maybe chose not to have children, just wouldn't be able to understand it. I mean, it's their link with the past and their hope for the future is their respect for their parents and also their, you know, hopes for their children. And I actually found that that was probably one of the biggest critiques in the film, I'm sure, that Gibson put in, that here's a civilization that that really valued, you know, their families and valued their children. And, yeah, I wonder whether or not we would have actually sort of measured up fairly poorly next to that sort of culture.
Mm. And it's funny, even the villains in the film, even the key villain, had a love for his son. And, like, when his son dies, it's kind of a stoicism, but the family link was still...
Well, it becomes the motivation for why the bad guy is out to get the hero in the end, because, you know, his son's died. There are other sort of themes well worth exploring in the film. There's the idea of the idyllic society. Did you get a sense of that Gibson was trying to promote us all returning back to the forest?
Well, initially you might think yes, because the first main civilization that we see in the film is quite idyllic. But once you see the invading force, you see that back in those times, back in that sort of culture that was removed from any kind of white man or sort of European culture, there was sort of cultures that were seemed to work in well, and cultures that were quite violent.
Yeah, so. I thought that the film actually did a really good job of exploding the idea of the noble savage. Mm. And, you know, this idea is sometimes politically that, gosh, if we could all just get back to, you know, living as the African 10,000 years ago, or the Papua New Guinean, or the Aboriginal for that matter, or anybody else, if we could just be back in touch with nature, we'd be okay. But what the film seems to do instead is to say, listen, it wouldn't matter if you were living in a Stone Age sort of situation or a Space Age situation, there's still going to be people abusing people, the strong preying on the weak. And I thought that that was probably a good critique to hear, because often we get that in sort of like almost environmental politics, you know, if we could only just be in tune with nature, we'd be okay. But the film really attacks that idea.
Yeah, because we see moments of sort of, you know, nice idyllic stuff, which is, it's very charming when you see, like, there's a boy with a cut leg and the mother uses, you know, ants to kind of, you know, sew up his wound. And we see water birth take place, a sense of kind of, you know, the way things were done back then worked really well. But by the same token, you've got ritual sacrifice taking place, and so you see that any kind of culture still has men with evil hearts.
Yeah, it's true, because, like, when I was first told about this film, that we're going to see one of the big sort of promos of this film was basically seeing the destruction of the great Mayan civilization, you know, in South America, I was thinking, oh yes, what we're going to see is the Spanish come in, and here's all the bad white guys again rocking over everybody, and Western culture is going to destroy yet another sort of idyllic situation. But in fact, it is the Mayans destroying themselves. Mm. And that's one of the big things that Mel Gibson set out to do, is to show that if a civilization is going to be destroyed, it first has to destroy itself. And that it has to, in a sense, not be strong enough to survive. And he was going to list all the conditions that would show that a civilization was not strong. And one of them certainly is this indifference to the suffering of weaker people, which is throughout the film. You know, those who are strong have no qualms about enslaving people or abusing people, or as you said, you know, ritually sacrificing them. There's no limit to their evil, and so this is going to sort of line this civilization up for destruction. So is that it for the film? Is that all Apocalypto's got to say, or there are other messages buried in there as well?
Well, the name of the film is Apocalypto, which I think connotes the idea of end times and is coming. And in this film, we see the end of the Mayan culture, essentially, Mayan civilization. And there is a key figure called the Oracle Girl. Now, as the invading forces sort of going back to their land with the slaves, they see a girl, Oracle Girl, who says, Beware the blackness of the day. Beware the man who brings the jaguar, for he will lead you to your end. So you have this sort of dirty, disgusting-looking little girl who sort of says these profound but frightening words, and she's basically pushed away at stick's length by the leader of the invaders, and is pretty much ignored. And so because they're at the height of their hubris and they're so confident in their achievements, they just ignore her warning. Yet the warning that she speaks is a true one, because obviously at the end of the film they do get their comeuppance, and their end does indeed come. And I think there's a reminder for us as humans. There's an end coming for us too, and a judgment coming. And as we read the Bible, and as Christians know, no matter how proud we are, no matter how much we've achieved ourselves, there is indeed an end coming and a judgment coming. I think we have to be ready for that and take heed of that warning.
Yeah, I actually think that you get onto something really quite strong in the film when you start talking about the pride of the people involved, because there are very religious people. No one would say they're not religious. I mean, there's religious ceremonies and there's this quite, you know, horrible sacrifice going on, but it's everything that everybody believes will help, and there are people worshipping all the way through it. And you have this high priest stand up and he says, we are a people of destiny, destined to be the masters of time. And yet the irony is that you know historically that within 50 or 60 years the Spanish are going to come in and that civilization is going to come crashing down. So if there's another characteristic that Gibson is highlighting as a precursor to the destruction of a civilization, it's not just indifference to others, but it's actually also pride and this conviction that, you know, we're right and that we will not face judgment ourselves. So if you had to sort of summarize the film, if you had something, a final comment to make about the film, what would you say?
I would say it's a film that is definitely worth seeing. I mean, it gives you a window into a culture that I don't know anything about, so it's definitely informative in that regard. However, it's a confronting film just through its depiction of violence, and so, you know, I think its MA rating indicates that it's only for those who sort of can handle that kind of violence that should see it. But if you do see it, I think while you'll be challenged, it'll also be a satisfying view, and challenging to our own sort of complacency, perhaps.
Yeah, I was actually trying to work out myself who I would actually invite to go see this film with, and I certainly crossed my wife off the list and other people. But I think if somebody asked me, would you recommend people go see The Passion of the Christ, or would you recommend people go see The Pianist, you know, about the Holocaust, I would probably say yes to both, even though I knew that what they were going to see is a very violent film. And I'd try and warn them about it, but I wouldn't say it was a film to avoid. So I'm going to say, look, you know, go see Apocalypto. Be aware that it's got violence in it, but it's also got a really good insight on the dark heart, you know, of humanity, whether it be the 15th century or the 21st.